It was an honor to be asked to be here. Welcome to the newcomers. If you're new, stay. It does get worse. Not staying, going back out. It gets worse. That's been my pattern throughout the years, and I go out, and then it just gets worse, and it's like, and then I heal. Somehow I heal. And then I go out, and it's like, oh yeah, it's awful. So I was asked to share about the 12 steps, and I want to start with the 12 step. I'm going to jump around. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not a circuit speaker, so, you know, I'm going to jump around, and if I lose my place, that's because I'm an alcoholic. So it was just this past year. I'm in my fifth year of sobriety. Last time I had many years of sobriety, my fifth year, I started getting squirrely. And so I thought, well, I better do stuff different this time, because last time I got squirrely, it almost killed me. It mostly killed me. And so I just don't want to do that again. It hurts. And so it was this year that I was reading the 12 step, and I realized that they kind of left the sentence out. And I think they did it as like a surprise, because they mention it throughout the book, you know, the fellowship, the sunshine of the spirit, fourth dimension. But so I'm reading the steps, and it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, comma, I was so happy at the full measure of blessing that I'd received that I just felt so blessed that we tried to carry these messages to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thought, well, holy crap, I never saw that before. Because I never worked the steps before. The first time I was in the program, I did it because I was just drunk all the time and I couldn't stay employed. And my employer said, yeah, you can't be drunk all the time and stay employed. And so you got to get help. So I went into the program and I stayed mostly dry for about 9 years. And dry is an awful place to be. So when I got into the program this time, and it stepped on, it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, I was down with that because my life had become completely unmanageable. I had an executive position, and I ran a company on the West Coast, and my vice president liked to start drinking at about 6 in the morning, and then we'd go work, and then we'd take a break and do emails and drink, and then, you know, we'd work, it was a restaurant business, so we'd work to the end of the night, and then we'd drink till about midnight, and rinse, repeat. And so that's what I did for the last 2 years. And so I was drinking a lot through that period. Then a lot of circumstances occurred, and I left that position. And then I started drinking. And I started drinking about, I don't know, a gallon a day of liquor. I didn't count the beer. I didn't count anything else. Because there was a lot of hurt in my life at that time. And I realized that I was getting squirrely, like really squirrely. And I was having some thoughts that I couldn't stop. Some people had hurt me, and I decided that life would be better and the world would be better if I removed them. And that's what I decided I was going to do. And so, and I know that's a wrong thought. And so I knew insanity was creeping in. So I moved out to Big Sur, because everybody I knew in Big Sur was already crazy. And so I figured it was easier to fit in than get help. And that worked for about 2 more years. And I couldn't make the thought stop. I mean, it just kept going on and on and on. And this plotting and planning. And it's like, man, I am so far from reality. And I'm drinking so much that I'm just going to go ahead and drink myself to death before I do something drastic. And so that was my plan. Liquor was not fun anymore. There was no choice in it. You know, waking up and throwing up blood every morning for a long time. It took, you know, a pint, 16, 18 ounces, I only measured it once, to make the retching stop. And I couldn't hold anything down until I got that much liquor down. And it didn't matter what time I woke up, you know. It was just brutal. Life was unmanageable. So I had this death experience, right? And I've had death experiences before. When I was 18, I fell off a cliff. And white light, I go through the white light. On the other side of the white light is my grandfather. He's standing there waiting for me. I was with him when he died. So I thought, well, this is pretty cool stuff. And I'm like, wow, cool, I'm dead. And he's like, no, it's not your time. And I'm like, well, it must be my time. I'm dead. I'm with you. And he said, no, no. So I drank from the River of Light. He takes me by this bridge. And I know, don't want to offend anybody, but Jesus is on the other side of this bridge. We don't get to cross the bridge. We go under. And so I drink from the River of Light. And then I'm not this anymore. I'm light. And I'm standing in front of this light that I can't even describe. I can't even put words to it. So I'm on a beach because I'm looking for a 100-pound bale of marijuana because I met somebody that wanted to buy one, and they had a check for $100,000. I'm 18 years old. I've been accepted to the Culinary Academy and recruited by a modeling agency. I'm about to have 100 grand and move to San Francisco in the 80s. Cocaine was good. Sorry. And so, but none of that worked out because I shattered my body falling off this cliff. And so I had this massive spiritual experience. And I don't really relish it or cherish it. I really don't do anything with it. After 2 years, God didn't save me. I saved me. Because that's how my alcoholic brain works. You know? The power of me. And so I'm laying in Big Sur, and I feel myself lifting out again. And I'm like, holy shit, I did it. I'm dying again. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I made the wrong choice. I don't want to die now. And I feel this force of love and forgiveness just slam me back into my body. And I can't walk. I've been numb for how many months, I don't know, from the elbows down and the knees down. And because of the drinking. And so I crawl into my living room, and I just sit in a rocker, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore. I'm done. And that lasts for all of 3 months. So when they say it's a progressive illness, it's pretty progressive, because I go back out because I don't get help. And within 3 more months, I'm half wet brained. I can't think. And there are crickets in my head echoing. And I'm like, what is that? Drool? Maybe. And I can't leave the house because I can't get in the car because I get lost while I'm driving in my own town now. I can't think. I can't read. I can't do math in my head. The chalkboard's gone. It's all gone. I'm down to one-syllable words. The and the F word. That's about all I got left. Seriously. So I'm like, I'm going to die again, and this is so painful. I can't do it anymore. So I go to AA, because I've been in AA, but I never really worked AA. And so I see, you know, like, this guy grabs me. He goes, I go to a meeting, and it's this little meeting. And this guy goes, son, you need to go over to Northeast Fellowship. They can help you there. Well, he didn't tell me it's because they're all crazy there. And I was crazy. And but that's where I needed to go. So powerless? Man, I was powerless. I had no choice in the drink. I had no choice about thinking. I had drank everything away. And because I knew I was dying, I gave everything away. My little place in Big Sur, I got like 30 grand cash. I gave it away. Because I wasn't going to walk away. So, unmanageable? Yeah, it was really unmanageable. I was thinking about harming people, harming myself. Nothing mattered. Came to believe that greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I wanted to be sane again. Bad. Really bad. Man, I just wanted to think again. And I thought, you know, sanity is good. If I burn my brain so darn hard that I don't get it back, crap. I made a piss poor choice. But, you know, I got allergies. God doesn't work that way. The allergies are bad here. God doesn't work that way. So I got a sponsor, and he's this guy. I don't even know where this guy came from. He's this craggy old bastard, and I don't even like him. But we get to step 3, and he's like, you got to turn your will and your life over to God. Well, I have an Old Testament God, and I've been MFing him for like 4 years. We haven't had a decent conversation on my part. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. You are insane if you think I'm... He's like, you're going to drink again. You're going to die. And I'm like, oh, crap. I don't know how to do it. And he's like, well, just do it. I'm like, yeah, but he's Old Testament, man, like wrath and shit. And he's like, oh, no, you need a new God. Pick a new God. I'm like, I only know one, you know? And so he just tells me, just keep repeating it. I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. It was so bad. This guy didn't even believe me. I had to show up an hour early so that I was reading the book. Because I was reading slow, I couldn't comprehend, and I couldn't remember. So he's like, did you read page book? Yeah, what did it say? I don't know. And this went on for like a year. And I don't even know how long it went on. I don't even know what my sober day is. He said, pick a day and stick to it. I said, okay, I like October 13th. He goes, great. So I just kept doing it. I just kept saying, oh, thank you, sir. I just kept saying, I'll turn my will and my life over to God. Because I thought that the best parts of me were those parts I held inside. That, you know, toughness was strength. My last name is Mormon. M-O-R-M-A-N. And so high school, my whole life, it's like, oh, you think you're more man than me? Here we go. I'll have to do this like 15 more times. And so, you know, I thought all these things were strengths, you know, and I didn't want to let go of them. Because what if God didn't give them back, you know? And I had a lot of fear, a ton of fear. And so, but if it was that or the constant pain of all the alcohol, my body was trying to figure out what to do with the alcohol. I had this big thing on my elbow where it was just stuff and alcohol. I went to apply for a job. It was like this big growth. I needed health insurance, so I went to a livery stable, got a big-ass needle and syringe for a horse, and my sister drained it for me. And it was gross. And so... No, we're alcoholics, you know, we're tough. And I went for a job at Costco, 7 months sober, and I blew positive for alcohol. And they said, it's not illegal to drink here. Did you drink? And I said, no, I did not. I didn't get the job because I thought I was lying. And I wasn't lying. I went back to the fellowship to this old guy, Cowboy Bob, and I said, Cowboy Bob, you're a badass drunk. How can I still blow? He said, well, it crystallizes in your liver. That's what cirrhosis is, holes created by the crystallization and shit. I'm like, oh. I'm like, what's the longest you've ever heard? He goes, I went a year. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good. I couldn't win a record. And so, you know, making this, I thought I was going to have to turn, I thought it was going to get all bad, you know. I thought it was going to get all bad. But it was so bad. How much worse could it get? You know? What did I really have to lose? Because it was bad. And so I just kept doing that. I just kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And God bless that old guy for making me do that. So making a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, I didn't really have any problem with that. Because I had done some heinous things, and I did them in public in full view, because I wanted people to leave me alone, and I was going to make sure that happened. And so most everybody knew anyway, and so that wasn't a problem for me for whatever reason. Plus, I drank a lot of my brain wasn't there, so I didn't remember a lot of the shit I did. I mean, I saw people for a while afterwards, and I saw this one guy. And all of a sudden, I smiled at him because I'd known him, and I waved, and he glared at me. Now, this was about a year and a half sober. And I remembered I was at a wedding, and his wife had got some work done. And we were both drunk, and she said, oh, do you want to feel my work? And I'm like, yeah. And he was not happy about that. I'm amazed. And there were actually three guys and three women. And I waved, I walked out of the wedding. I don't know how they let me walk out. But, I haven't been able to make those amends because they don't want to talk to me. You know, some people will not want to talk to you. They just won't. They don't want to see you. They'd rather spit on you or not even put that much effort out. So the inventory, It was a little problematic because my sponsor kept saying, how many columns you got? Read the book. How many columns you got? I got 3 columns. The book has 3 columns. I got 3 columns. Go read the book again. It took me forever. Finally, I had to go, okay, I'm going to concentrate really hard. And every time it says, I picked up a pen or I wrote down, I'm going to figure out what the hell they're talking about. And so I ended up with more columns. And so I finally got it done right. So we were going to meet, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So I met with him, and we prayed, and he said, have you admitted to yourself? Did you do it in the mirror? I said, no, but I haven't been able to look at myself in the mirror for quite some time. And he said, well, do it. And he said, and God knows. You talk to God? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I talk to God. He goes, and you're going to tell another human being? I said, oh, you know, I already told my sister. Because I had told her before I had met him. Because some of it was really bad. And those secrets become anchors. And they will drag you down. And they'll kill you. It's amazing. Our mind is pretty powerful. And when we use it improperly, it can get very painful. So he looked at me and he closed my first step, and we went to a meeting. We're at an Alana club. And we got out of the meeting. I said, okay, what do we do? He goes, well, go home and do 6 and 7. That'll lead you to 8 and 9, and then 10, 11, and 12. So he basically fired me because I had already told another human being. And you know what? If your sponsor fires you, get a new one. It's okay. You know what? Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. So I never gave my fifth step. So I got a new sponsor. So we started going to the steps. And this is a while, because you know what? I'm a guy, and we really don't need help and all this crap. And so I didn't get a sponsor for probably 6-8 months. But finally, I'm like, well, I got to tell this stuff to somebody. I don't even know if I'm working the program right. This is what I do. I isolate, even when I'm in the room. So, and that didn't lead to anything good. So I'm going to go a different way. So I got a new sponsor. We start going through the book, and we get to the first, second, third step, and he has an opportunity to move to Idaho to go see his, make amends with his father. His father was a law officer, and he was a violent criminal that did a lot of time. And so he was like, I got to go make amends. And I'm like, dude, you should go make amends. So we kept in contact, and man, he was riding his motorcycle one night, got hit by a deer, and the deer killed him. And so I got another sponsor, because he went to heaven. He was a good guy. But, you know, that's how it works sometimes, you know? And so I finally did my fifth step with a sponsor. And it was good. He helped me a lot. He helped me a whole lot. So we're entirely ready to give to have God remove all of our defects of character and humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I couldn't see the forest through the trees. When I first went through this, I went through the motions, and I had really good intentions, but I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what that meant. That didn't mean think to me. You know, I was still, at 3 years sober, I still couldn't read a map and figure out where I was. I was working for this, I got this little job as a canvasser, and I was amazed how the guy could drop people off, mark a map, and then find them again. I've been sober 3 years. I'm like, woo, look at that guy go. And I couldn't figure it out, man. I just hurt my brain so bad. And so, you know, God is good. Praise God. I can think again. I can read a map again. And so I really didn't know what these were. But I did know that I was going to pray and ask him to take whatever stood between me and him. Whatever that was. Because I know I have defects of character. I mean, I was getting ready to plant people. Those are some defects of character. My temper had always been like a red-out thing. My pride had been so much that when I fell off that cliff, they wrote an article, Drama and True Life, about it. Because I crawled 3.5 miles up that mountain. And in 1981... you couldn't mention God. God was not a sellable vehicle. And so I told him, you know what? because the guy, the writer's brother, was a producer for ABC. They wanted to make a movie. And I said, no, God, no movie. Kiss my butt. God gave me the strength. God's the only reason I'm here. 2 years later, I crawled up a cliff. Listening to my leg cut itself off the whole time. And I did, but it wasn't me. But my pride is such that it was me. I tend to forget God. So, I really didn't know what to do with those steps until later. Made a list. You know, the book says, oh, and by the way, once my sponsor fired me, I know the book said go. I have my book at home on a shelf because it says we pull our book off a shelf and sit. So I'm like, I got my book on a shelf. I'm doing it. He can fire me all he wants. I'm going to do this thing. So I did. I mean, the instructions are here, but you need a sponsor. And so made a list. I made a list, man. I started with, like, the toughest, like my ex-wife and my kids, stuff like that. And I talked to everybody. And you know what? I couldn't remember, dang, because I drank most of my, you know, cognitive ability away. And I keep meeting people, and I keep remembering stuff like that guy. And I will stay willing to make those amends, you know? Thank God for the fifth step, because what the fifth step did for me is it made it so I don't have to spin. I had a dream, like, 4 nights ago, that I was the head of this spy agency, right? And so I'm in this bar waiting for a couple spy to walk in, and I'm drinking, right? So I'm sipping my liquor or whatever it was, and they walk in, and the female spy is from my home group in the dream. And then I start spinning, well, I don't want a new sobriety date. I got to take care of this girl. And then this, that, and the spin, you know, that we all did with our lives, you know, all the lies and lies on the lies. And I woke up and I thought, oh, thank God for the fifth step. I don't have to live like that. I can be honest. You know? So, yeah, making a list, now I have a problem with that. I just went after it. And it wasn't very long, because I was just dumb. And made amends. I still am trying to make amends. I heard some people in the Big Sur, and they will not see me. There's some other people that will not see me. My folks are dead. My dad got pancreatic cancer. He was an alcoholic. And when he was 70, he came out of the closet. And he told me that he was gay. And I called him a butt thumper because I didn't know what to say. And I said it as a joke. And it wasn't funny. And that was about the last thing I ever said to him. So I made amends to him. Sometimes folks are dead, but you gotta get it out. I hate crying or having allergies in front of people. But you know what? If that's what it takes to be sober, continue to take personal inventory from where wrong from to admit it. My mom used to do that. I was raised that way. She goes, oh, you know, at night, good Catholic lady, you thank God for all your blessings, and you think about your days. You know, she wasn't an alcoholic. And you see what you did well, and see what you could do better, this and that. So when this one hit, I'm like, woo, that one's deeply ingrained into my memory from way back. I still have that one. I can do that. So that wasn't difficult. I can do that. And then step 11 came about, and man, I got to talk to God now, and I'm not sure this is very good, because I've been quite vocal about how I was feeling. And, but you know what? Whatever it takes, that's what you got to do. So I decided to get a meeting, and I got the 11-step meeting at my fellowship, and I had it in a 2-year period, I had it 3 times. I just held on to it. I just won't let it go. And I started noticing things like in the 12 by 12 in the St. Francis prayer, it says, grant me and help me and let me. You know, he's striving for these things. I thought that was interesting because he's a saint. And I'm not a saint, but it's in there. And I started realizing that that's what 5 and 6 are about. You know, the grant me. Because I'm spending time in prayer and meditation, I started realizing that these steps, the reason that they're a pathway for me for living, is because they help me make proper use of my free will. My free will likes to drink, use drugs, abuse stuff, people, cars, whatever. My last name is Mormon, and I can prove it. And that's kind of how my thinking was. So my free will was messed up. So I started realizing that admitting that 6 and 7, we're entirely ready. That ready part is my free will. Was I ready to let God in? Was I ready to think as much about myself as God thinks about me? And the answer is yes. Do I have defects of character? Hell yes, I'm human. You know, crying in public, that's a defect of character. I think so. But it doesn't matter, you know. I started learning how to use my free will properly. And the things that I don't say anymore are the negative things. And my head said a lot of negative stuff about me. I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. And so many negative things. And I don't say negative stuff anymore. You know, because it's not true. Just because my head says it in here doesn't mean it's true. And I don't believe it. I absolutely don't believe it. So, you know, what a blessing when I end up back at having had a spiritual awakening. And, you know, I'd had them before. I fell off a cliff. I died. I saw this giant light that I can't even imagine. And I can't tell you how much love was emanating from this thing. What I had done to other people in that experience was a darkness circling around my light. But there was no judgment from there. It was judgment of what I was looking at. My own energy judging itself. None from above. But I didn't cherish that spiritual experience. You know? I've died from anaphylactic shock. I've had car accidents where the cop said, you know, it didn't kill you because the bolts on your seat broke before your neck did, because the tree came through the car and tried to rip my head off. And, you know, all these things. And we're all like that. We all have these experiences where people say that's a miracle, you know? But what I've learned is you have to cherish that spiritual aspect. I learned through this program that I am different. I'm different mind, body, and spirit. And I've always tried to live life with mind and body, never spirit. And that's why I can't balance. Because I'm like this. I have to be grounded. I can't be balanced. I have to be grounded. It's the way I'm made. And the spiritual aspect is the third part of that that keeps me grounded. So, you know, I didn't want the book. I wanted to prove the book wrong. I looked for all the chinks in the armor, and I couldn't find any. I literally could not find any, and I tried really hard. It's just true. And so I protect my spiritual life now. I protect it like I'm going to die if I don't. And I would recommend that to anybody. And so, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I'm so freaking happy that we're trying to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, I didn't sponsor for a long time. I didn't really want anything to do with the 12 steps because I told these gentlemen the first time I was sober, I got high, smoked some dope at 2 years sober, and I called my sponsor and said, smoked some dope. He said, well, you didn't drink, did you? And I said, no. He said, oh, thank God. We're here so we don't drink. I'm like, sweet. Well, you know, everything stops working, and it stopped working. And so I had to go back to something else, and my something else is liquor. And I had a sponsee in the city, San Francisco, and I called him and I told him that I was drinking again. He said, well, I can't talk to you anymore. And I said, I understand, that's cool. But I had told him the same thing that I had told my sponsor, or my sponsor told me, and that dope was okay, as long as you don't drink. Well, you know what? He quit drinking. He went back to drinking. He had a grand mal seizure and died. He just don't make it out sometimes, you know? And every year in Fresno, somebody goes out, you know? They have that one, or that, you know, that one couple of day binge, and bang, it's done, it's all done. And so, you know, every day is a blessing. It's this program, man, I thought it was going to be a drag. I thought it was going to be fully a drag. Because I thought the best parts I have to give to God, what's going to be left, you know? Great stuff, that's what's left, you know? The blessings, the parts of life that truly I didn't feel I deserved. Even I couldn't have enough success before because I wasn't worth it, so it didn't matter. It didn't matter what my position was. I strived for position, for zip code, for my cars, for all that stuff, and it didn't matter, you know? It doesn't matter. And I attained it, and it did absolutely dink for my self-esteem. But God was gracious enough to keep me in dang near poverty since I've been sober. And what it's taught me is my self-esteem comes from Him. I'm a child of God. That's it. No more. But no less. So, yeah, now all kinds of stuff are, you know, starting to come. It's crazy. You know, my folks passed, and I was broke for a long time. And the little voice, you know, it talks about how our intuition will pop up, back up and get stronger and stronger. I heard my little voice say, check unclaimed property. I'm like, what the hell? And so I'm like, okay, I'll check unclaimed property. My folks, somehow everybody had missed like 37 grand in stock. And you know what? When I needed it a couple of years ago, there was nothing there, so I checked. But now that's just how God works, you know? When we start submitting ourselves to His glory instead of our glory, then He can use it. It never occurred to me. I spent so many years trying to pump myself up and promote myself and lift myself up that if I got humble, how far would God lift me up? Never thought of it. So, you know, I owe my life to this program and to folks like you. Sorry. But it's a great program. Keep coming back. Even if you're like me and you got to go back out, oh well, keep coming back. You don't have to die. And it is a painful, painful, pitiful, incomprehensible path. It's just ridiculous. It's amazing. We're such tough people. But I don't want to know if I'm ever that tough again. I really don't. So I'll keep coming back, and thank you for inviting me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.